Isn't it great to be a Christian? Now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. And unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. And the whole congregation said, amen. I got a little paper in here I need to get out, so it was hollering at me, so I had to lift that up before it quit. Good to see everybody. Always happy to see you. We're glad you can be here today. We look forward to us spending a little time in the scripture this morning. Before I get started, I am going to make one quick little plug. And I want to remind you about our Wednesday evening summer series speakers on the theme of Make Me a Servant. You have never heard Freddie Anderson from the Huntsville Prison Ministry speak, you are in for one very special treat. Don't miss Freddie Anderson. He's what I call a rapid-fire man who can put out the Word of God, and you'll be wondering why he quit so soon. That's the truth. That's when Freddie preaches, everybody says, why'd you quit? Why'd you quit? Keep going. He's a really great speaker, so I want to just give him that plug. This Wednesday night, 6:30 here at our building, come and hear Brother Freddie Anderson. But this morning, you get to hear Bob Tane. Amen. All right. Well, good. All right. Well, I want to continue a thought that we were preaching about last week. I want us to talk about relationships. And I just want to encourage you now to turn with me in your Bible. We're going to read from the New International Version, and while I'm going to probably introduce another version in on this reading, I want us to read from Luke chapter 14. It'll be on the screen for us here, and you can read along with me if you will. Luke chapter 14. Large crowd. We're traveling with Jesus, and turning to them, he said, if anybody comes, or if anyone comes to me, and does not hate father and mother and wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Now, I know that sometimes when folks read this particular wording about hating mother and father, that that sometimes confuses them about this passage. So I want to pull it up here for just a moment and read it to you out of the New Century Version, that you maybe probably get the right kind of idea. Remember, last week I was talking to you about the idea of responsive imagination. I'm going to bring that up again in a little bit, and I want you to think about that. What that, in short, means is that when we're looking at something, maybe a picture, or when we're reading something out of a book, or maybe in particular scripture, you begin to have some kind of a picture in your own mind about what you're reading about. When you read about large crowds following Jesus, everybody can picture that idea. You've probably seen movies of that kind of thing, about Jesus going through a city or somewhere or out by the seashore and crowds being around him. That's not hard for you to imagine. But listen to how he words it here. If anyone comes to me, but loves his father, his mother, his wife, his children, his brothers or sisters, or even life more than me, he cannot be my follower or my disciple. That's what he's talking about when he uses that word or that idea of hate. If he does not hate father and mother. In other words, if he doesn't make Jesus the number one thing in his life, he doesn't have that relationship. Now, are you with me? We're talking about relationships. There are all kinds of relationships in this world. You're sitting next to one. And maybe that person's a stranger, but if they are, you can have a relationship with them if you get to know them. Isn't that right? So relationships are all around us. They're in all kinds of different forms. A relationship, remember now, is a connection. It's a connection to the other person, if it's a person relationship, or the thing that has some kind of importance to you. You have a reference point to it. You like it. You either enjoy it or you don't enjoy it. You have maybe a respect about it or for it. Hopefully that's what some relationships foster, Doug. We hope that our parental relationships have respect in them. We hope that our relationships with other folks in the body of Christ form some kind of respect. In fact, wouldn't you say that's one of those major things missing in our world community is respect for one another? We're having difficulty with that very kind of issue. And the Bible says that where the Spirit is, the Lord is there, and He is there in a relationship. So I want to talk to you about that. I want to try to encourage you to be a good student in the Word and to understand this idea of relationship. The Bible says, over in the book of John, chapter 6, verse, 67, that the flesh profits nothing. It is the Spirit that gives life. You got a King James that says quickeneth, but that means it gives life. And the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. I want you to keep that in mind as we go along. I don't want us to lose that idea. I want you to remember that when we read the Scripture, we are listening to God speaking to us. He's doing that through His Word. God is using the Bible to speak to you when you're reading that. I said to you last week, if I write you a note and you open it, you get it in the mail and you open it up, I'm not there. And you read it and you say, oh, well, Bob sent me this note. You know that what I wrote on the note or in the page is coming from me. You understand that, right? Tell me, shake your head yes. You understand that? Well, this is God speaking to us when we read His Word. You get that part? That's important for us to get. God is talking to us. And every one of us in this room has a God-given imagination. You have your way of trying to grasp or understanding and being able to see what is happening. We call that responsive imagination. Now, hear me. I'm not saying that a person is supposed to be imaginative and interpret everything that God says by his imagination. I'm saying that when God speaks to you, that you are capable of understanding and getting the picture if you are interested in knowing what God says. And that's an important thing for you to get. We preachers sometimes want to quote a lot of scripture at you. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's a good thing for you to get information. But Scripture, brethren, needs to be more than just information. It needs to be transformational. It needs to be from me to you or from God to you into your life so that you can use it, so that it can be a part of you. Men, throw up our picture that we had last week. You remember this picture? A Norman Rockwell picture. You look at it. You interpret it. We looked at it some last week. I'm calling them George and Emma. You call them Bill and Sue if you want. I don't care. They had a name, don't you think? They've got a name. They're sitting on a bench together. And when you look at them, you are able to come to some of the very same kinds of conclusions that I can about that. What has she got in her lap? She's got a little special treasure box. It's obviously filled with some kind of notes or letters. And she's got one out, and you can tell by her expression and where her eyes are focused and her lips and all, she's reading a note, and she's reading it to that fella sitting next to her. Now, who is that? Well, maybe her brother. Maybe they're in the park. This is a strange... Oh, no, that's not it at all, is it? You're smart enough to know that. That's her husband. Of course it is. He's got his arm around her. They have a relationship together. And she is reading him, I think, she is reading him one of his love letters. Yes. He's reading one of his letters to him. And look at him. He's looking off and he doesn't know what to think about this. And maybe he's saying, I remember where I was when I wrote this. I was on the shores of Iwo Jima. Didn't think I was going to make it back. Or I was somewhere else. I was in the mountains. I was away from her. I don't know if you can see it very clearly, but in the tree above, there's a couple of birds up there. What are they doing? Well, they're all nestled up together, aren't they? Just sort of rubbing their feathers together one another. This is a love picture. Am I right about that? Is there anyone here agree with me on that? I didn't have to do a lot. I didn't need to go to school and get a PhD to understand what the fellow who's painting a picture with a cat rubbing up to a dog that doesn't even seem to mind. That was my dog. I'd have to take him outside and explain things to him. He's supposed to be chasing them cats, isn't he? But no, that cat is rubbing right on that dog. That dog doesn't mind it at all. He's quit his reading. He's laid his book over and he's listening to his wife. This is the idea of responsive imagination. Oh, I wish we could get that. When we read the Scripture, turn my heart, O Lord, like rivers of water. Turn my heart, O Lord, to your hand. Fill my whole life. In the river of your Spirit, and my name brings honor to the land. Turn my heart, O Lord, like rivers of water. Turn my heart, O Lord, by your hand, till your whole life flows in the river of your Spirit, and my name brings honor to the land. Lord, I surrender to your work in me. I rest my life within your love.
be had. Turn my heart, O Lord, like rivers of water. Turn my heart, O Lord, by your hand. Till my whole life flows in the river of your Spirit, and my name brings honor.
Words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. That's what God is saying to us. And He wants us to have a relationship with Him. He wants us to have the kind of imagination that responds, that when we read the stories, that we begin to understand them. Now I'm going to cite some passages of Scripture to you. Try to give you their references. I'm not trying to rattle them off like a machine gun. But they are to be heard, hopefully, in a responsive way. In a way that helps you to begin to form where we're going with our thought. The word of the Lord is right. All of His works are done in righteousness. Psalm 33 and verse 4. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. Psalms 119, verse 105. All Scripture, you see, is given by the inspiration of God, and it is profitable for use as doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that you may be perfect and thoroughly furnished unto every or all good works. That's 2 Timothy chapter 3, 16 and 17. Study to show thyself approved unto God as a workman who needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing or handling aright the word of truth. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15. The Hebrew writer says in chapter 4 and verse 12 that the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow. It is a discerner of the thoughts and the intent of the heart. Later on in chapter 5, he will say, "For when for the time that you ought to be teachers, you have need of one teach you again what be the first principle of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat." You see, one of those powerful relationships, not just the idea of father and mother and brother and sister and, well, everybody else, God wants us to have a relationship with His Word. He wants us to have a relationship with His teaching. To the Jews who had believed Him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." You see, it's one thing to quote a bunch of scriptures about the Word. It's another thing to recognize that it is the Word of God, the truth of God, the Spirit and the life of God. Isn't that what Jesus said? "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." These are the things that are important in my spiritual life, far beyond what my pedigree might say, what my understanding is, or how much Greek I may have. All of those things are helpful. But the idea of recognizing God's truth being freedom and releasing me in my spiritual realm so that I can be the kind of person that God wants me to be. In the fourth chapter of the book of John, there is a story about a woman at a well. You remember that, I'm sure. And as Jesus comes upon her, you know that he crosses across that barrier of man to woman, which was a taboo then. And he asks her if she will get him a drink, because he recognized the picture. He was there. He saw her. He knew what she came to do. She had her water pot with her. She was coming to get water, and he said, "How about a drink?" She was flabbergasted that he would even bring it up or even talk to her. And after they had some conversational time, you remember that she begins to be spiritual herself. And so she brings up a question. She says, "You Jews, you say worship is down there in Jerusalem. You know, my fathers, they taught us that worship was here in these mountains." Now, it doesn't say it in the scripture, but you know what she's saying, don't you? She's saying, who's right about it? Where's the right place? Mountains? Jerusalem? Jews? Samaritans? She wants to know what he's thinking. You remember his answer? He told her God was a spirit, didn't he? And they that worship God must worship how? Spirit and in truth. Why, the words that I speak unto you, Bobby, they are spirit, they are life. They are truth, they are life. How important it is to get that message. That's a relationship that God is wanting you, me, everyone to cultivate. That we begin to understand what He wants from me. Later on in the Gospel of John, John will record in chapter 20 that many other things, truly are there many other things that Jesus did, miracles that he did, that are not written in this book. But these were written for what purpose, congregation? These were written that you might believe, and that believing, you might have life in his name. You understand that, don't you? Didn't have to go to college to understand that. You get the meaning of this. That the relationship with Jesus is paramount. And yet we live in a world where there are all kinds of people who point you toward all or many other kinds of God. Jesus Son of God, and the Bible is the Word of God. There are no others. It's Jesus whom we look to. It was Jesus who said in our lesson last week, John 14, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me." The disciples always wanted to have some kind of a sign. Do us a miracle, Jesus. Show us the Father. You know what Jesus said. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. That's the relationship, you see, between the Father and the Son. He says, you want to know something about the law? Look at me. You want to know something about New Covenant? Look at me. I am the New Covenant. I am the New Law. These are the things that the prophets spoke of. This is the truth that sets you free. Amen? Okay, just see it if you're still with me. I know you're getting close to your nap time. But I want you to see how important it is that a relationship with the teaching of Jesus is paramount in following Him as one of His followers. I'm not saying that you'll get everything right. You won't. I don't get everything right every time. But I am saying this. Just like looking at our picture that we looked at before, that if you look long enough, you will find all of the pieces to the puzzle. If you keep looking and you look correctly, you will see what God is saying. What He's telling us. How He wants us to live. How He wants us to act. Who He wants us to be in the community. I know we're big on gun rights in Texas. But I don't believe there's a person in this room that willingly wants to shoot someone. We all want to be able to protect our rights, that's right. But I'd much rather be able to preach the gospel of Christ to that person. Because if we are going to change our only one, which is Jesus, is the Christ. Okay, I'm going to let you go have lunch. I've still got about 5 more pages of notes. I may never quit this. A relationship with the Word of God. We've got 3 other relationships I want to talk about. They're important. They really are. One of them is the ethical. I'm going to save it for last. I think we need to resurrect ethical living in America. Really do. And that's going to start with people like us, okay? But we got to remember that we need a relationship with each other, the body of Christ. We need to remember that we are a family. I'm going to preach some more about those things. And you need to have a relationship. I'm not preaching on it this morning, but I mention it because if you don't have one, you need a relationship with the redemption that's found in Jesus. It's not just a matter of reading His Word and getting it. It's also a matter of responding to it. Because God is expecting us to be doers of the Word and not hearers only. Book of James. Let me encourage you. Study your Bible. Realize that you can see the things that are there that God wants you to do. And develop that relationship with His Word. So that you can be one of His followers. You can be obedient to Him. That you can be diligent in seeking Him. That is what He wants from us, from each. I love you. I hope you'll take the message with love and encourage your family members, your other members to serve God. You're here today. We can assist you in your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We invite you to come right now while we stand in moment.